All right, we're in the book of Psalms, and you know, it really, it's a great book to be in at this time. You might say, well, any book's good to be in. It is. But what are we doing in the church over the next 100 days? Praying. What are the Psalms about? They're prayers. So if someone says, well, how am I going to pray? I've got 150 chapters of them. These are prayers, and these are prayers that you can use. And I say you can pray them, not just use them. And if you look at them as you're praying, and you look at what it says, it will be opened up to you, and you'll have your Bible study as well. So the fact of the matter is that one of the most powerful things that we have as Christians is prayer. We can go to the throne of God and we can ask for things. And you know what? It's like children and parents. God is our Father. And children go to their parents to ask for things. That's normal. Sometimes over the last 50 years, we've gotten it into our head that we really can't ask God for anything. Wrong. He wants us to. If you go through the Psalms, you pray the Psalms, you'll see time and time again, David or the writer of that particular Psalm is asking God for something. Why is that? Because we need Him. We need God on our side. We need God answering our prayers because we cannot do things on our own. Do you know we don't like that? That concept is foreign to us. We're Americans. We do things on our own. The reality is we lose an awful lot of the power of prayer because we say, God, we're going to do it, and we sure want you to bless it. Ever try that? I'm going to do it, and bless me, Father. And we miss it. We miss the blessing. We miss what God has for us. So the Psalms are just a wonderful example of what we should do. And how we need to open up this window of opportunity to have our prayers answered. And we need to go to our Heavenly Father, and we need to go in confidence, in humility, but ask for things. Now, when we do it in humility and looking for the right things, we will be fine, the right things in our lives. If someone says, well, I want $1 million. No, that might not do you any good. Really won't do you any good, because when life ends, that $1 million isn't worth anything, is it? It's not worth a thing. The wealthiest man in the world, and I have a friend that used to say, oh, I'd rather be wealthy than poor. Well, me too, but the fact is that at the end of the road, it doesn't matter. So as we look at the Psalms, let us remember, this is God's answering of prayer. This is a great opportunity we have. It's something that we don't utilize in the church. We've talked ourselves out of it. We've preached ourselves out of it. Don't ask God for anything. Ask God for everything. Why do we have to ask God for everything? Anybody know? Because we can't do it ourselves. We can't do it ourselves. All the things that we hear, do this, do that, all the things in the law, the teachings of the law of Moses in the New Testament, we can't accomplish it ourselves. That's what I love about the book of Psalms. That's what I love about David. I got excited as usual this week, so I had to read a book on David because after the Sunday school lesson a week or two ago, I got thinking, oh my, David, how in the world? And yet he was a man after God's own heart. That's what the Bible says. You might say to me, how in the world? You know, he not only was he in the wrong place at the wrong time and did the wrong thing, but he had somebody killed to cover it up. Remember that from this lesson a week ago? He had somebody killed. And he did not admit it until God sent a prophet to tell him, you have sinned. And yet God continued to bless him. Did he have the results of what his sin that he had to live with? Yes, we'll see some of that this morning. But God blessed him. And God gave him a wonderful life and a tremendous testimony that still lives 3,000 years later. A man after God's own heart. Here's one of the interesting things. You can put this in the back of your mind. Only two people had the Holy Spirit permanently with them prior to Pentecost. David was one, and John the Baptizer was the other. Read Scripture, you'll figure that out. But they're the only two. All the others, the Spirit came upon them and then left them and came upon them and left them. But both David and John the Baptizer had the Holy Spirit permanently upon them during their life. All right, Psalms, five books. We talked about royal wisdom, nature, creation, lamentation, the curse books. We talked about Hebrew poetry. We talked about the fact that it repeats when you pray. And this is great too. You know, we get into this, don't repeat anything when you pray. No, we repeat because that's how we express ourselves. And that's how the Psalms do it. So there's repetition to what the psalmist is asking God for. And we said it's a collection over 500 years of writings. So that's our little review. And just before we get into the actual psalm, I want to give us our little total review, I call it, and that's our theological special for the day. All of the Bible is simple. You look at me and say, wait a minute. You get into Revelation, and you're here, and you're there, and you're the other place. There are a lot of complex things. That's true. But the fact is that the message of the Scripture, starting in the first two books of Genesis, carries right through to Revelation. And it's really simple. And when you stop to think about it, it's amazing, and it demonstrates the immense love that God had towards us. We have creation. We know about creation. We're getting ready for an exciting thing to happen in a day or so that a lot of people don't understand. The moon spinning around. It's going to block the sun. We've got the moon, they tell us, is moving every year. And in 100 million years, it'll be somewhere. This won't happen. So if you're here in 100 million years, it won't happen. You won't see it. But in any case, the fact is you have creation. And in creation, God did what? He created the world. He took from nothing, zero, darkness. Darkness is nothing, and that's what we have in Genesis. Nothing. He took from nothing, and he created something. He created man, and man was an organism. And then what did he do? He breathed into man the breath of life. Breathed into, and that is when man came into being in God's image. He gave man freedom of choice. Man broke with God, which is what we call sin. And the reason I had to get into this is I hear so much about different sins. Friends, sin is breaking with God, period. We don't have a list of them. Now, if you're like me, you probably grew up with a list of them. I did. Didn't any of them? I'm the only one. I had a list of sins. And they taught it every week. These are the sins. Breaking with God is the only sin. Rejecting God. It happened here with the eating of an apple or eating of a fruit that was prohibited. But the fact is, that broke with God. That is what sin is in every case. Then after that comes redemption. And redemption, of course, is what happens with Jesus Christ, when God brings us back to Him. So they are the three things. Redemption is, I love this, it's the buy back from slavery. That's really what that means, the word means in the original language. The buy back from slavery. Think about that. We're hearing a lot about slavery now. That's what redemption is. And it's through love that redemption was accomplished. So that is the entire Scripture, if you will, the message that God has in Scripture for us. We started out with freedom. We love freedom in this country, but we did. God gave us freedom. We ended up being slaves to sin because we broke our relationship with God. We had perfection, everything you could possibly want. We had a responsibility. We were to take care and guard a garden from Satan. Satan was the lord of nothingness or darkness. Nothingness, remember that. Think dark. God is the God of light. And when light comes in, what happens to darkness? It goes away. What do we know about light? Light has an atomic weight. Darkness has none. When God comes in, things change. And in everything in life, we see this. So that's the message. Freedom, slavery, and then return to freedom, and that's redemption. So any time we're in the Scripture and we're studying something, put that in the back of your mind and apply that to whatever that lesson is that you're dealing with. Today we're dealing with Psalm 141. Our writer calls it the protector. We're going to deal with prayer, life activities, actions, accountability, people, and mouths. Isn't that interesting? The context is our friend David, as you may recall, after his sin, his brokenness with God, which is what happened, he's having a terrible life. His family's going awry. His son Absalom, who's a handsome man, the people love Absalom and they hate David. David has to leave Jerusalem. He can't even stay there. He's going to be killed. He goes out into the caves and hides. Absalom's trying to kill him. So this is generally considered to be the time that this particular psalm is being written. So David knows his background. David has, of course, asked for God's forgiveness, but now he's had to flee. And he still trusts in God, and we're going to see an interesting prayer. I just came up with a little comment. Devotion doesn't require perfection. When you're going to pray, you can be a devoted person, but you're not going to be perfect. So we're going to see devotion here in his prayer, and it does not require that we be perfect. So let's start out, and I love this. He starts out, "O Lord." And right, you have to identify who you're going to be praying to. And he says, "I call to you, come quickly to me." Notice how specific that is. It's a very specific prayer. He doesn't say, "Lord, someday in the near future, I'd like you to do something for me, bless me, whatever." He says, "Come quickly to me." Now, first you think, wait a minute, he's not supposed to say that to God. Now remember, God is not contained by time. God is not contained by space. Those are things that we're involved with. So when we go to God, we ask for something in our now. We don't usually pray that, "Lord, in 15 years, I want something to happen." And so we must be bold in our prayer, and we must say what's on our mind. God knows what's on your mind, but He wants us to express it. That's what prayer is all about. And the term there really is Lord. And our writer said God is a person. God is spirit. And we worship him in spirit and truth. So he took a little bit of, I know what he was trying to say here. In that, so when we think of spirit, what do we think of? Smoke and so forth. You know, weird things. Now, we don't really understand spirit. But God is spirit, but we can approach him, and we approach him through Jesus Christ. In the case of David, he approached directly to the throne, and he asked for God to do something quickly. He got right to the point. So I really want to stress that. It's just so important. When you come to God, don't fuss around, you know. We were all taught, most of us, wonderful ways to pray. We used Old English, and the more Old English we used with thee and thou and words that we never talked to anybody with, the better our prayers. Not true. Throughout the Bible, they talked in the language that they spoke. It was only that we had a translation and we decided that that was the inspired word of God directly word for word, which it wasn't. And so we use that. We go to God, talk in our language to Him, and we go directly, we make a plea to Him, we get right to the point. And David says, hurry up. There's an urgency. He's dependent on God to have his prayer answered. Hear my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. He's in a cave. Remember in the tabernacle, there was incense, a special type of incense that had to be burned during the prayer. And when it was burned, it went up towards the heaven and gave a particular aroma. And you may say, well, yeah, that's sort of an interesting religious rite. Well, it was. And that's what God had set up as part of their religious practice, something that they did that helped them focus on what they were about to experience. And so there are really two things here. It's this incense, which is a symbol, smoke rising towards heaven. And then you have the raising of hands gesture. And I know all Baptists have been taught never raise your hands in church unless you're volunteering. The fact is that, no, raising of your hands, this is surrender. See this? And the second thing was, look towards the heavens. Isn't it interesting that we're taught to pray that way? And yet, how do we pray? We pray a different way. But that's how it was done. Incense would go up, and doesn't have to go up, but that was the symbol going to God. And then the symbol of surrender. My strength cometh from above. In the beginning, God's created the heavens and the earth. All right. There were two governments, God's government, our government. So in David's prayer, he starts out with the key things, and he basically reminds God, yeah, I don't have any incense here, but I can sure raise my hands. So my prayer is coming before you like incense. May the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Sometimes they call this a Vesper-type prayer, which would be wonderful to do in the evening when you're singing hymns around the table. All right. Set a guard over my mouth. So now you've asked God, I want you to be here. I want you to start communicating with me. And point number one is, help me control my mouth or tongue is what it really is. Help me control. Now, what about a mouth and tongue? Supposedly, we open our mouth and close it about 700 times a day. Most of the people I know, about 4,000, I think, a day. But it's but if you want to get in trouble, open your mouth. Rarely do you get in trouble with your mouth shut. So David, I always say a fish even when we get caught, but in any case, David recognizes that. He recognizes how the tongue can have such a disastrous impact on other people, on life, and again, can create this problem in this relationship with God. Because what David is involved with in his prayer and supplication and sanctification and so forth, all those good words, is he is getting that relationship with God unbroken. That was the form of redemption, if you will, at that time, the sacrificial system, the prayer, following, and so forth. So that's what he's doing, and that's what we're doing when we pray. So if you're praying this prayer and you want to talk a lot, could be a problem. But it says, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over that other part, your lips. So once the tongue goes and the lips go, you're in deep trouble. So you keep your mouth shut, your tongue not moving, and you pray, and it's really a lifestyle. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil. All right, let's talk about that for a second. We've gone through the worship, which are spiritual acts. And now we've got to learn how to take criticism. Boy, we don't like criticism. We hate criticism. Everyone says, yeah, just tell me what I did wrong, and then they're mad at you for the next 2 weeks. So As Christians, this is true, we all know this. As Christians, somehow we have to overcome this. Now, I've got good news and bad news. You can't overcome it. Except as David's trying to do it, right? See the teaching here? This is so simple. Go to God and say, you know what? I talk a lot. Boy, do I get mad when someone criticizes. Lord, I get so mad. Take that away from me. God will answer that prayer. 99% of us don't ever ask it because we're afraid to. We like, you know, little chit-chat here and there, the little zinger. But we hate criticism. And what David is really saying is, boy, I didn't have any people helping me when I got into trouble. I need somebody now. I need people to be accountable to. So, Lord, you provide them. In fact, he uses a term about getting, they strike me, and no, it's not not being hit. Down there a little ways, you'll see that. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Well, it's not hitting him, but it's a strong comment. So David talks a little bit about evil people because when you're with wicked people, and this is interesting, when you're with wicked people, you're going to struggle because they're going to try to take you down a particular road. Now, this isn't saying don't get involved with your neighbor, don't do this, but you just have to be concerned about the people you surround yourself with because you want people that are helping you along the road to life and becoming a stronger Christian, not someone necessarily who's taking you into things. They say, oh, yeah, I know how the evil people do that. I know how they do that. Forget that. You have to have the right people to be accountable to and the right people to help you in your Christian life. We are social animals, and we are meant to gather together, to worship together, to pray together, to sing together, to share together, to cry together. That's how God made us. And when we were in that original relationship with Him, we could do that with Him as well constantly. Today we have to work at it, and we have to ask Him to help get our hearts aligned with the right way of living and with the right way of blessing so that we can enjoy this life that He gave us because we're redeemed and we're children of the kingdom. And half of us don't get the blessing. And I know I miss it for weeks sometimes. And then I know why. It doesn't take long to figure out. So here's David, and he talks a little bit about the evil people. They take part in evil deeds don't let me eat, I love that, don't let me eat their delicacies, because those things that are surrounding us and trying to change our focus may seem really nice. Nice things to do. People like to sin. They're like, God, don't look this way today, I've got something to do. If you just deal with Tom today, I've got some things to do over here. We can't on our own change that, but once we're in the relationship with God and we're aligned in our prayer life, He will change it. Okay, so let's find out. Here it is, let the righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. So when he says something, it's in love he's doing it. Let him rebuke me. It's as oil on my head, which is a soothing thing. Yet my prayer is ever against the deeds of evildoers. And what he's saying is that if I live my life aligned with you, the evildoers will continue to do what they're doing. In his case, they're trying to kill him. And eventually, they're going to be trapped in their own problems, in their own issues. And so this is part of your prayer when you're praying. This makes sense. And then he says, he comes up with a saying. He said, as one who plows and breaks up the earth, so our bones have been scattered at the mouth of the grave. And your Bible may say Sheol, but that's one of the things is grave, the other is the place of, depending on how you interpret it, the dead, maybe the unrighteous dead. We'll talk about that some other time. But let the wicked fall into their own traps. That's essentially what it is. And so right again, you end the chapter, and it says, "But my eyes are fixed on you, O sovereign God." Again, the relationship being established. I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Hey, there's the word again. He didn't say, "Help me, help." He said, "I don't want to die right now." Now, God's going to see that things happen in the correct way, but there's no reason why we can't say, "I don't want to die right now." Now, we're all going to die, we know, unless Jesus comes again. This body will get old. It's getting old all the time, but it will get old and gone. The fact is that David's saying, "I'm not ready." And so he asked God, "Don't be afraid of that." Sometimes I say we pray, "Dear Lord, we want your will, and guess I'm going to die tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. No. We want this, Lord, this is what I'm looking at. And they say, "Well, everyone prayed for me and it didn't work out." Yes, it did. We just didn't know how it worked out. God hears our prayers. David is confident at the end of this chapter. He said, "Keep me from the snares they have laid for me, from the trap set by evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by in safety." While I pass by in safety. So as we finish our prayer, we thank God for answering that prayer. David, I mean, he was confident. They're trying to kill him. They had a bigger group of people trying to kill him than he had trying to defend himself. But he had confidence in God that God would answer his prayer. So I encourage you, as part of this prayer ministry that we have, the power of prayer, you don't have to have a booklet or 28 different things to write. Go to the book of Psalms, pray a psalm, look at the psalm, pray it, look at it afterwards. God is going to bless you. You're going to get up from that prayer. You're going to feel different. And why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Holy Spirit loves it when we're reading His Word. And He blesses us. And what is blessing? Blessing is making us happy. That's what a blessing is. That's what it really means. Not some esoteric term. So I just encourage you. I love Psalms. Look at David. And every time you think, "Man, I'm in trouble. I'm not doing the right thing," there is probably no way that you've done everything that David did wrong. And yet God stayed with him, blessed him, and his line became the line to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful that we have the blessing of your word, that we actually have it here today in writing with the various translations, that we're not prohibited from looking at it and utilizing it. Father, we ask that in our lives that you would just continue to help us grow in our understanding of you, in our love for you. Father, that we may just totally accept what you've taught us when you said that the law is all wrapped up in loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourselves. Lord, you've made it so simple, and we tend to make it so difficult. Bless us this week as we go our ways. For those that are in need, who are ill, sick, struggling, we ask that your hand might be upon them. May we gather together in prayer and pray for them during this period of time. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.